T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Both hailing from parts unknown at a combined weight of 501 pounds. They are the Morning Rush Hour World Tag Team Champions. They have no fear, no back down, just a couple of gutsy guys. No one will take those MRH World Tag titles from these men. It's Taz, it's the Moose, illustrious champions, right here every day on CBS Sports Radio.
You know it's every day, Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport, you know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL, the college games, they always bringing the knowledge, nobody ever can try to go stop it. Only be talking the truth, only be talking the truth, ayy. You know it's Taz and Moose, you know it's Taz and Moose, ayy.
All right, it's Taz and the Moose with you here on this Monday morning, CBS Sports Radio. As we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios, Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You've got Mike Pete across the way, Bogish, with your updates to 9 a.m. Eastern time we go, 6 Pacific here on CBS Sports Radio. I was thinking about the Raptors celebratory parade today up in Toronto. Gets going at 10 a.m. Eastern time.
Yes.
This morning. So
we'll have to make it out there.
Yes. Raptors Park is, Jurassic Park is already packed. Mm. There are people that were waiting in line and had their chair set up already along the parade route yesterday.
Wow. Father's Day. Just sitting there. Imagine that.
Sitting there waiting for the parade to come by their way the next day.
I mean, gotta get a good spot.
Well, good for them. Yeah. I mean, that is, you want to talk about a ravenous fan base. That is clearly a one that is loves, eats, lives, and breathes their Toronto Raptor basketball. Good for them.
Yeah.
Celebrate that championship with their fans today, and they'll have a victory parade.
Yeah, they will, and it's going to be great. And I wish we could be there. Be there on Bloor Street. That's probably where it's going to be, Bloor. That's one of their main.
I don't know if I'd want to be in a parade that I'm not a fan of the team of.
Ah, just be there, just pound some beers, you know, wear a Raptors jersey.
Would you want to be in a victory parade?
You would not
want to be there.
Well, if it was the Patriots, no, or the Yankees, no, I wouldn't do that either. Probably other teams too.
Not torture.
It is. No, but for me, like, I'd be like, yeah, this is cool.
No,
Toronto's
stop.
Cool.
Listen, I enjoy yourselves. Everyone be safe. Don't be stupid. Don't get too over the top drunk. Enjoy your day. Enjoy the celebration. It's been a long time coming. It's the first Canadian team to win the Larry O'Brien Trophy. All that is positive. I don't know if I'd ever want to go to a parade for a team that I'm not a fan of.
Is the parade going to be on Bathurst Street or Bloor?
I have no idea. I did not go through the parade route. I have no idea, Tess. I
remember the streets.
That's right. I know you've been there. Google it, Tess. Is it going through Little Italy? Can I pick up a cannoli?
They probably have for date. I know there's a Little Italy there.
There is. It's fantastic.
Big Italian community there.
Donna's got some family up there.
There you go.
They listen to Taz of the Moose every single day.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's nice to hear.
Yes.
Hey, Paisans up in Toronto over there. There you go. See that?
Right.
What do you got, Mike? Is it Bloor Street or is it Bathurst? Where are we going? In Toronto.
None of the above, but I'll email
Don Valley?
We don't need to go into the details of the road closures, but I'll email it to you so you can have for your own personal pleasure.
No doubt about it. So enjoy that. So the Raptor fan will have their victory parade today, and that gets going about 3 hours from now, right around 10 a.m. Eastern time, as they continue to kick the tires on the future of Kawhi Leonard up there. We'll get more into that. As this week does roll along, we inch closer and closer to Thursday night comes your way, and that being the NBA draft task. The other thing that transpired over the weekend, a major thing, is the U.S. Open.
Yes.
And Gary Woodland, in his 31st career start, wins his first major out at Pebble Beach. And a couple of things you look at. Number one, from him, being able to withstand the pressure early on yesterday in the final round. You know, he's in a final pairing with Justin Rose, who's already won, a U.S. Open. He outdueled Phil Mickelson down in Marion, I would say about 8-9 years ago now, amazingly enough. That's in Pennsylvania, just outside of Philadelphia. And so he's in the final pairing yesterday with Justin Rose, who's a championship caliber player, has already won a major. And you've got Brooks Koepka, the two-time defending U.S. Open champ, that goes out there and birdies four of his first five holes to get him right there, or right with, just behind Woodland in the final round, Taz. And he's able to answer all those pressures. He shoots under par. He shoots 13 under for 13, for the 4 days. And he hits some amazing shots when he got himself into trouble. Whether it be the little pitch, I think it was on 17, I believe the pitch was, right up to the hole. Right. Whether it be then on 18th having the 30-some-odd foot birdie putt to finish at 13 under par. Every time yesterday that Woodland faced a little pressure and he thought he'd crack a little bit, he'd come out with one of these great recovery shots and be able to salvage par or salvage bogey and withstand any kind of collateral damage.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he's veteran player, 35 years old. Yeah, no, he's battle tested, man. He's never Woodland. It's crazy because he's never finished better. I believe it was than like tie for 22nd or 23rd. I was reading place in the previous 8 U.S. Opens. Last year he was in the top 10, though. Coincidentally enough, where Bruce Koepka won it.
Brooks.
What did I say?
No, you said Bruce.
Oh, I said Bruce?
Yes.
Oh, it's his cousin.
Yes.
Cousin Russell's in Toronto.
Yes. No.
I thought I said Brooks.
No.
Brooks Koepka.
It's not a big deal.
The guy with the big arms that people think he has big arms, but we don't have big arms, but I digress. So, yeah, Koepka won it last year in 2018, and Woodland was in the top 10 for that. But previously to that, he wasn't even in the top 20. You know, he wasn't.
No, and so you look at what Woodland was able to do. First and foremost, credit to him. Number two is you look at the scenario of him being able to, first off, win his first U.S. Open and then do it at a historic place like Pebble Beach, which is absolutely fantastic. I mean, and I love the fact that you have the coverage going into the evening. I love the fact you can enjoy your Father's Day and have, do whatever you need to do, especially, I mean, we're talking about the East Coast now, obviously, right, as compared to West Coast. If you're looking at the East Coast bias that we have, and be able to enjoy your Father's Day and then sit down and watch a little golf, you know, late in the afternoon into the evening as this as the championship was decided somewhere, you know, around 9:30 Eastern time last night, 6:30 Pacific. I thought it was great. I love the fact that when they have that kind of coverage, I love the fact that it starts later in the day. I love the fact that it goes into prime time on the East Coast. I think it works for the golf. I really do.
Yeah, no, it's cool. I mean, it's funny. Over the weekend, so I'm watching, I'm watching the gimmick, the Pebble Beach gimmick, and it's like, wow, it's amazing. It's beautiful. It's unbelievable. The scenery. My wife sits down in the room. She was in a different room. We're talking about something, and then it was on the TV. She goes, wow, this is beautiful. Where are they playing? I go, Pebble Beach. She goes, oh, okay. So then she's just stayed watching the golf, right? She knows nothing about golf, so I thought. And then she's like, oh, the guy Koepka, he won last year, right? I go, yeah. And then she's like spitballing different things. Oh, he won Bethpage too, right? And I go, yeah. I'm like, I thought you didn't know about golf. You know, and she knows all the stuff about golf, my wife, because I had no idea I knew. But she's a reader, my wife. But anyway, so the beauty of the Pebble Beach attracts all sorts of folks, even the casual golf fan like my wife. Which I didn't even know she was a casual golfer.
Well, there you go.
She was reading stuff, I guess, on her internet web home pages. She reads things.
Oh, good. Well,
as opposed to me, I look at pictures.
Well, no.
Yes.
I'm glad your wife enjoyed it. That's really what it's all
about. It's a beautiful scene, as you said.
No doubt about it. I mean, you can't ask for a more picturesque scene. And for Woodland, an unbelievable accomplishment. And for Koepka, he gave it the old college try on the 18th.
Brooks.
He absolutely striped his driving iron to give him shot at an eagle on the 18th to get it onto the green in two. And his chip shot was not a very good one. Ends up missing the birdie putt and par in the hole. But that was an opportunity for him to maybe put a little bit more pressure on Woodland there, and Woodland went into the 18th with a two-shot lead, unless he hit it into the ocean, Taz.
Right.
The match was pretty much over, and he did one better than that by birdieing the 18th and winning the United States Open by three shots at 13 under par. Koepka finished at 10 under par, and for Brooks, he's been it's been an unbelievable run for him. You know, he is, you know, historically, how consistent he has been in these majors is just off the charts. As he was trying to do something that I'll probably never get another opportunity to do, which is win three consecutive United States Opens.
Yeah, you know what it is, too, about Brooks Koepka? He's cool, man. He stays real cool. Like, you never see him. I mean, a lot of golfers are like that, but this guy, for the success he's been having, you never see him sweat, man. He is just never nervous. Like, you could... He's got a calm aura about him, which makes him feel even more, just makes him feel more successful than he even is. Like, he just, there's something about him. There's something about his presence. Like, Tiger, all his greatness, Tiger, you know, wouldn't, like, throw clubs around, but sometimes Tiger would wear his emotions on his sleeves. You could tell. It feels like Brooks, you never see that out of him for the most part. You know what I mean? So it's
no,
cool.
You don't see that at all. You really don't. And after the afterwards, certainly gave all the credit in the world to Gary Woodland for winning the major. Here he is. Here's Woodland, that is, finishing at 13 under par and winning the U.S. Open.
You know, I've worked hard my whole life. I've been surrounded by amazing people and always just wanted to be successful. I didn't know what it was, what I was going to do. Fell in love with golf and... It's transcended to today, and it all kind of came out in me. I never let myself get ahead all day today.
Here is Koepka on the final round and his chance of winning three straight U.S. Opens.
Played great. Nothing I could do. Gary played a great 4 days. That's what you got to do if you want to win a U.S. Open, win a major championship, and hats off to him. Cool way to go out there on 18 to make that bomb. It's you know, he deserves it. He's worked hard, and, you know, happy for him.
Yeah, and that 30-foot birdie putt for Gary Woodland, where you give Koepka a lot of credit in the world, is certainly a scenario where he gives credit. Did to Tiger Woods at the Masters, did yesterday to Woodland in the U.S. Open. But Koepka had an opportunity. Easily could have won the Masters, did not. Won the PGA. Could have come back and won the United States Open. I mean, you could have a scenario here where he'd be going into the Open Championship across the pond, winning all three majors this year, and came close. 1-1, finished in second in the other two. So it's been a remarkable year so far this year for Brooks Koepka.
And it's got to be cool, you know, because if you have a guy like Brooks Koepka giving you one of your peers, signing off on you, saying how great you played, you know, saying congrats and that you worked hard. You know, some guys might act like they don't want the endorsement of their peers, but, you know, Gary Woodland, I'm sure, in the back of his mind, is like, wow, that's really cool that this guy gave me the nod like that and said that to me. And, saying that, hey, I've worked hard and yada, yada. And that's cool. It's good to hear that. It's good sportsmanship, gamesmanship, and respect for a fellow player. That's great.
Oh, no doubt about it. And then, you know, you had the insult to injury in terms of the no respect if you're Brooks Koepka. When he's getting introduced after his round yesterday to the media to answer questions, it looked like it was like kind of an outside where he's getting peppered with questions. Not only was there a flyover, but as he got introduced, he got introduced as Bruce Koepka, not Brooks Koepka.
Well, and it must have been me doing the introduction.
Right.
So they introduced him. So, and I'm over here feeling bad. I know the guy's name.
Bruce Koepka, and then Brooks Koepka.
Wow.
Guys, and he rolled his eyes.
I mean, yeah, I didn't hear that. That was the PA announcer?
Not the PA announcer.
The play-by-play guy?
No. No. So it was, you go into these media rooms. This was outdoors, right, at Pebble Beach, right? Yeah. But you go into these media rooms, and there's usually a media coordinator that introduces you.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
here's Yankee manager, Aaron Boone, right?
Yeah.
Right, so here's Bruce, he introduced him as Bruce Koepka.
Wow.
Instead of Brooks Koepka.
Listen, that's
I don't know
atrocious.
What that guy's job is.
Yeah, I mean, you're at the freaking Pebble
the
Beach
States
Jones.
Open,
I mean, yeah, really.
And it's Brooks Koepka.
Yeah, you'll call him Bruce.
Right, he's the two-time U.S. Open champion.
Only, you know, beat up, broken down wrestlers that do radio now do that stuff.
Well, and the, yeah, right. Well, no.
I called him Bruce. I'm glad you pointed out that I did do that. Maybe some people missed him. Thank you for pointing that out. I appreciate it. You pointed
out many times my mistakes.
No, you have mistakes. Minimal.
Mark,
don't be sensitive. Then you went to Pete and said, did I say that? And Pete was like, yes.
I did, actually. You're right.
I know you did.
I did, because I was surprised at myself.
And Pete was like, yes, you did.
Yeah, he did. He said, yeah, you did. That's right. And he said, don't do it again. I'm like, oh, wow.
So that happened yesterday with Koepka. And then, yeah, I thought it was pretty cool, the walk-up for Fox. You know, they try and make it a little bit different where you see the guys. Where you see, and what I mean by the walk-up is where the guys, you know, drop their car off to a car service, what have you, or they're driving their own car out to Pebble Beach, and then you walk up to the course. We saw it, the PGA, remember Koepka having the walk-up, and his girlfriend went to go kiss him, and then he basically said no or whatever it was.
Don't kiss
me
now.
And she walked off strangely, right? So yesterday, when the video I saw, he walked up, he was by himself.
Oh, well, that's it.
Then Woodland, but not just that, but how about Gary Woodland? Woodland walks up. He's leading the U.S. Open after 54 holes, right? He's carrying his own bag.
Wow. It's like, what is this guy, a slug?
Like, what?
Somebody's carrying his bag. Someone should be carrying his bag.
No, his own golf bag.
That's what I mean. No, I know. Where's his caddy?
Not his, like, toilet bag.
He's carrying, like, a garment bag.
Right, nothing like that. He's carrying his own golf bag. I'm like, that's a little weird, right?
Where's his caddy?
I have no idea.
Oh, man. Who knows what's going on over there in Pebble
strange.
Beach? They're a little wild over there.
Well, no, I think it was just maybe the guy wasn't around. I have no idea. The U.S. women, a golf clap, U.S. women, you look at the soccer, they clap back, they golf clap back at everybody else. We'll get into that next. It's Taz, it's Moose. We'll also touch upon the AD trade, as Anthony Davis is now a Los Angeles Laker, or will be when the deal is officially announced, coming your way July 6th. We'll get into that more next. It's Taz and the Moose on this Tuesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
On this Monday morning, it is Taz and the Moose with you. Bogus is in the house.
Yeah.
What's going on, Andrew? How you doing, buddy?
Look who just walked in.
Oh, yeah.
With your report, sponsored by Wrangler Outdoor. Pants and shirts made with durable fabrics, moisture management, and UPF 30 protection. Wrangler Outdoor, clothing with outdoor credibility and everyday versatility. Try them on today.
Yeah, you could have said thank you. I mean, you asked me a question. I give you free cigar advice. It's like I'm doing a podcast on cigar smoking.
Then the music started, a moose walked in, and
you could squeeze in a thank you.
Thank you, Taz, for your information.
That's all. It's very simple.
My apologies.
You asked me a question, and I helped you.
You did.
This is what I do around here with you people.
You're right. And you know what? We don't give you enough credit for being generous.
That first part of your statement
selfless.
Is apropos. You could have just ended there. We don't give you enough credit, period. That's
everything.
It. Yeah. Everything.
So up until last year,
Gary Woodland
hadn't finished in the top 10 in a major, a pair of top 10s at the PGA Championship, and now a number one at the U.S. Open. The 35-year-old Woodland put away a three-shot win yesterday over Brooks Koepka.
Koepka came out of the gate fast, leaping up the leaderboard with four birdies in his first five holes, keeping the pressure on, but Woodland didn't flinch.
Ann Liguori from Pebble Beach.
Can we get Ann Liguori to do, what do you think of this, Moose? To do some promo work for us. Like, you know, her voice is great.
Four guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you
we think? Should.
Good idea. Spitball some creative here live on the radio. Yeah. All right, good talk.
I don't know where you want me to go with that.
I don't know. Just maybe have a conversation with me about it. What do you think?
I think our show sounds great.
No, but let's add. It's nice. She's got a great voice.
Sure. You want to have her do some other stuff?
She doesn't need to ID herself, though. It's all about us.
Okay.
That's my gimmick. That's how we have to be. Selfish, selfish, selfish.
There you go. Yeah, we could do that.
And, okay. Go ahead.
So before
Shinnecock is shining brightly already this morning.
Before that last birdie, Woodland drove an epic 263-yard 3-wood on 14, then shipped off the fringe of the 17th green for a tap in par All of this from a former D2 hoops player. Woodland's first game for Washburn was at top-ranked Kansas.
Decision got forced on me really quickly. I was guarding Kurt Heinrich and like, okay, I need to find something else because this ain't going to work.
This is only the second win since 2013 for Woodland. It pays him $2.25 million. As for Koepka, he's denied a U.S. Open three-peat. He settles for being the first since Tiger in 05 to finish in the top two in the year's first three majors. Oklahoma State's Victor Hovland was the low amateur like he was at the Masters. Hovland's 280 broke Jack Nicklaus's amateur record at the Open. There are already a lot of people in place in Toronto. The Raptors' victory parade begins at 10 Eastern this morning. As many as 2 million expected to attend. The Dodgers and Cubs were tied at 2, bottom 8, last night in L.A.
Next set, Taylor leads the pitch to Martin. He loops one into left field for a base hit. Taylor's on his way home. Here's a throw to the plate, and he is safe!
Charlie Steiner, Dodgers radio, the tie-breaking RBI single from Russell Martin. Kenley Jansen then survived runners at second and third with one out to get the save. His Dodgers 3, the Cubs 2. L.A. takes 3 of 4 in the series. In the afternoon, the Nationals smoke the D-backs 15-5, two homers, 7 RBI from Matt Adams. And the Braves steamrolled the Phillies 15-1. Josh Donaldson went deep for the third straight day. Atlanta leads Philly by 2.5 games now atop the NL East. And lefty Sean Newcomb expected to avoid the IL after taking a line drive to the back of the head Saturday. Newcomb had no concussion symptoms yesterday. And the NASCAR truck race in Iowa yesterday ended with some drama. Ross Chastain failed post-race inspection. His truck was too low, so Brett Moffitt gets the win instead. It's the first time since 99 that a driver has been stripped of a victory.
Wait, what happened?
His truck was too low.
Oh, like too a low rider. Low.
Really? Yes.
A truck race inspection.
And going deep. They have new strict rules to break down to avoid cheating. So he broke those rules and out he goes.
You know why that is? It's because he's got a lower center of gravity, so he can't flip a car.
Of course, yeah, no. We know.
Hot take.
Yeah. Hot take.
There you go.
Everything.
Very nice.
We don't give you enough credit for your NASCAR knowledge, Taz.
No, it's just that's what happened. Like I'm assuming because the car is lower, so he's got, you know, that's why he's cheating. You know?
So, yeah.
You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, fascinating.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Congrats to Brett Moffitt.
Thank you.
On the win.
All right. Bogus, you done?
Yeah, I'm good.
Thank you.
Thanks,
great update.
My pleasure. Chat with you next time.
Thanks again for the cigar tip, too, Tess. Yeah, I appreciate that as well. Yeah,
no problem. You
thank you.
Thanks
for having
me. Yeah, you got it.
We all basis. Well, Moose, I'm giving some free advice here. I mean, it's like, you know, there are things I know that you don't know. There are things you know that I don't know. That's what makes good teamwork. You know
no,
what I, mean?
I get it, but I don't ask for people to thank me after I conversing with
well,
them.
I believe in that. I believe that if you or someone is not going to give me due credit, then I will say, where's my due credit?
Okay.
That's it.
Thanks very much.
That's how it
so
goes.
Just talking, having a conversation with somebody, you need to get credit for well, having
he's a, bro, he asked me questions like that most people, like, you know, they would have
well,
to pay
most
for.
Most people don't care about.
Well, that's
a great
true.
Question.
I mean, cigar smokers care about it.
Next question.
I mean, you know, so he asked me a question. It was like, you know, so I wanted to answer the question. But it's like, you know, go listen to the cigar podcast. Google
it. He's going to start smoking now. Cigars.
I guess he wants to smoke. Maybe he's trying to bond with me. I don't know what
nice.
He's trying to do. It's
maybe
not going to work.
It is.
It's not going to work.
That could be it.
You know, that's what gets me excited.
It's not going to work. You know that.
That's it. If you're just waking up here on this Monday morning, big news over the weekend. Was certainly the acquisition will become official on July 26th, but both partners have agreed to the trade of Anthony Davis from the New Orleans Pelicans to the Los Angeles Lakers. As the Lakers trade Ball, they trade Ingram, Hart, and 3 first-round draft choices, including the 4th overall pick in Thursday night's NBA draft. Down in New Orleans, and they do get Anthony Davis back in return as he sent out an Instagram post saying AD is on his way. It's a here and now trade for the Los Angeles Lakers. You know, got to win now for their perspective. You know, ends a lot of the conversation about how dysfunctional they are, how poorly run of a franchise they are, Taz, with all the embarrassment.
Right, right.
Whether it be searching for a head coach, whether it be Magic Johnson stepping down the style and fashion, which they did, and trying to support LeBron James and getting them the necessary talent to win at a big time level and trying to win a championship. And that's how this trade will be decided upon, because they don't care about the future. They care about the here and now and try to win a title. So well, that's how you'll judge this trade, whether or not the Los Angeles Lakers can win a championship with Anthony Davis and LeBron James starting next year.
And I got to say, man, the Lakers, they need to win. Like, they really, because that's the only thing that will help kind of, they've been an embarrassment with everything, the way everything's went down with ownership and then the whole stuff with Magic Johnson. Even before that, where, speaking of Anthony Davis, and the whole thing blew up where him and LeBron were scheming to get this thing done, and a bunch of the current the players that were on the roster heard about it, and then it didn't happen, the Anthony Davis thing, and it caused a problem in the locker room. It's like this whole thing, and then Johnson leaves, Magic Johnson, and then her Buss's friends, they're helping her, like, you know, book the roster. Like, well, let's give this, you know. The whole thing has just been an embarrassment. It's been silly. So what they need is to win, the Lakers, for sure. Is AD the guy to help do that along with LeBron James? I don't know. They're both, you know, big time names. Obviously, LeBron is you know going to go down as arguably the greatest ever, or close to the greatest ever. And Anthony Davis, you know, he didn't do much in New Orleans. He didn't raise the play around him with other players, and he kind of made it well known he didn't want to be there. So now he's going to be, you know, with his friend LeBron James, and I don't know, maybe they can get it done. I wonder what Kyle Kuzma's thinking, because he's still on the Lakers.
Yeah.
And all those other guys, Ingram and Ball and stuff, are out, and I wonder what he's thinking. Seriously, a rhetorical question. I wonder what he's thinking.
Yeah, he's probably, you know, interested in trying to win with both LeBron and Anthony Davis. At some point, you got to be a professional and move on from whatever transpired a year ago, right?
True,
I mean, you got to realize this scenario that you know, I'm still here. New Orleans wasn't able to pry me away as part of that package heading down to the Pelicans. And I want to try and win. And I got to look at this situation and make the best of it, no?
Yeah. No, you're right. And that's the key. The word that you just said, man, is professional, right? No matter if you're bitter or not. And we didn't see that. from the outside, it didn't seem like with the Lakers, once that whole AD lack of trade blew up and it didn't happen, with Johnson and LeBron, Magic and LeBron spearheading it, it seemed like they lost the locker room. It seemed like no matter how great of a player LeBron is and his legacy, he's 34, 35 years old, no matter what it is, all his success, he lost the locker room. They lost that. Remember, we were talking about it. I don't remember who they were playing, the Lakers. And LeBron, there was a timeout. He was sitting on the bench like all by himself, you know, two, three chairs away from the whole team while coach is going over stuff. You know, Luke Walton, who's gone too. I mean, so that whole thing they need to win to make people forget about what happened, how bad it's been.
Well, and that's what this move they hope will do, right, is that they're going to win. And we'll see if it does. LeBron's obviously been fascinating with playing with Anthony Davis for quite some time. He made that perfectly clear a year ago, to the chagrin of the NBA front office and to Adam Silver. Got reprimanded for that. Picked him when he was for the All-Star game. Remember that? All-Star game draft.
Yeah, you're right.
Did that as well, Taz. So, I mean, you look at it, LeBron James has been fascinating. Both are represented by Rich Paul. So that plays into it too, Taz. So you look at the scenario for him. For the Lakers, it works. And for New Orleans, it works as well. They're able to restock their young talent. They add two guys in Ball and Ingram who are very, very young. Their careers have not been decided about what they're going to be as of yet. Ingram, you can make the argument, last year probably played his most consistent basketball before he went out with that blood clot. That injury has since been rectified. They're going to draft Zion Williamson with the number one overall pick. We'll see what they do with the fourth overall selection. Maybe they draft a player. As Mikey B was telling us during the course of the break, there's rampant rumors that maybe they're going to trade that fourth overall pick for a little bit of veteran leadership, a guy that they could add that could be a starter to provide a lot of leadership for this young team. So we'll see what they go with that fourth overall pick, Taz. But for David Griffin, you try to make the best of a bad situation. The Celtics pulled themselves out of it. They weren't enamored with the Knicks' talent. The Lakers were kind of the last team standing. Everybody else besides the Lakers and the Knicks were going to be a rental. And they maximized the value that they could with Los Angeles, who were a desperate franchise. So for New Orleans, in a bad situation, they may have probably made the best of it.
I think so. I think they won in this move, in this deal here. And putting, you know, this kid coming in as Zion Williamson, as we talked about, he's still only 18 years old. An amazing athlete, amazing player, and greatness he had at Duke in 1 year as a freshman. And now, you know, you give him some, you know, legitimate players around him with some NBA experience, like Ingram, like Ball, like Josh Hart. You know what I mean? So you put him in a good position. I mean, the Pelicans definitely are putting him in a better position than they put Anthony Davis. I don't think he had that kind of stuff around him, those kind of players. You know what I mean? But Now, it's going to be interesting to see because they do need that leadership. And we were talking about that earlier, so we'll see what happens. And like we were talking with Mike, you, me, and Mike were talking during the break. I mean, they're going to be a fun team to watch this year in New Orleans, no matter what. They're going to be exciting to watch. And that whole Laker thing, we just got to see how that goes right now. I mean, they need to add some guys, right? They got to add some guys.
Well, they'll have $23.7 million in cap space. We'll see exactly what they do. Maybe they add another max player. Maybe they don't. Maybe they try and add some other pieces that can maybe rotation pieces that can help out both LeBron and Anthony Davis. Let's see exactly where Los Angeles does. But a lot of heat on them to try and win an NBA title in short order because they've got 3 years left on LeBron's contract. And you can argue, obviously, he's not getting better. He's getting progressively worse. I mean, it's not a dramatic drop-off, but you're seeing a little bit of a regression in LeBron's game, and certainly health this past year was a massive issue. Wow. So we'll see exactly where Los Angeles goes from here, but they had to. Once they signed LeBron last year, Taz, it's about the here and now. It's not about the future. Mm-hmm. The hell with 10 years from now, 5 years from now. It's about trying to win that title now, This is what this move is.
And what have you done for me lately? That's how it goes. That's one cliche. The other cliche is fall the time catches up to everybody. And we saw that last season with LeBron James, and he's a year older coming this season. So, I guess you're hedging your bets on AD that he's going to be the guy to step up, and then him and LeBron together will make magic. We'll see. I personally don't think it's going to happen. I know we talked about the Vegas odds, and was it 9-2, 7-2?
I saw 9-2.
9-2, yeah. So before and that was right when the news came that AD was going to be a Laker. And before that, it was like, I don't know, it was ridiculously low. Like, that it wasn't going to happen where the Lakers would win, would go to the championship. I don't think, I'm not buying into the whole hype train of either guy. I know how great LeBron has been his whole career. I know it. I'm not knocking his legacy. But I think that he's he's walking into the sunset right now, an older, battered player that is not what he was, in my opinion. And I don't think Anthony Davis, I'm not buying into the whole thing. I don't think they're going to win. I just don't.
You might be right. You might be right. I think if they're both healthy on the court together at the same time, let's see exactly what else is on that Los Angeles team. I think they'll win in the regular season, whether they win a title. Only time will tell.
Well, that's what I mean with a title.
I know what you mean. Yeah. And, I have to see exactly where they are after free agency is done, whether or not they could be. Right now, no. I don't think Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and Kuzma are good enough with whatever else the supporting cast. They've got another piece of impact has. And they've got to improve. What they also have to improve is the outside shooting.
Right. Good point. And the thing is, though, they do have to add guys. And you got to hope that those whoever they add, LeBron is embracing and wants on that team, because they got to make him happy. I'm not saying that's how it should be. That's how it is.
Yeah,
With or without Magic Johnson, that's how it is there.
Well, I don't disagree with you, but Magic and LeBron probably talked last year. And LeBron is a talent evaluator.
Yeah, okay, exactly. Well, he supports this now. I saw some stuff from Magic Johnson. He's all happy.
I'm sure he is.
He said, they're going to win. They did it. This is great. He put it over. He put it over huge on somewhere.
Well,
social media.
He wants
media,
to be back to being Magic of the Lakers.
Yeah, he said, great job. Buss is doing it. This is a great move. Yeah, because he wanted Anthony Davis. So it makes, it kind of solidifies what he wanted to do with, LeBron.
Yeah.
And now this thing finally happened. Thank God. I'm glad we can move on from talking about it in the future.
We'll get into U.S. women's soccer as they were victorious once again in the World Cup, but not over the top with their celebrations, right or wrong. We'll react. We'll talk about that next. It's Taz and Moose with you here on this Monday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, tomorrow night, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 Pacific, make way for What's Next when CBS Sports Network brings you WNBA Showdown as the Washington Mystics take on the Los Angeles Sparks on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line of 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. So the United States women's team over in Paris, over in France, your host for the World Cup this year, Had another dominant victory yesterday over Chile. Yes. This time by the count of 3-0. They didn't do double digits in terms of the amount of goals that they scored yesterday. Still 3-0 is 3-0. And just if you watched any of it early yesterday on Fox, it was still a ball possession dominant United States women's performances. They are the best soccer team in the world, and they're out to try and prove it here in this year's World Cup. But after their record-setting 13-0 rout of Thailand, to open up the tournament,
right?
There was a lot of debate back home about all the celebrations by the United States women's team after goals, after they were thoroughly embarrassed, or why didn't they call off the dogs? Why did they have to score 13 goals? Everything like that.
Like a run rule. Let's
right,
put a run
they
rule
were not,
for adults.
Right, they were being classless, or they should not have acted in the style and fashion in which they did. And there's a lot going on with the United States women's team. Certainly, they want equal pay as compared to the men representing U.S. soccer. They don't get it. They want it. And rightfully so, Taz. Yesterday, after their three goals with Chile and won that match 3-0, they kind of toned it down and did a little golf claps of their celebrations.
I love it because it's definitely sarcasm by the U.S. women. I think it's great. I support these ladies. Let them do what they want. They keep winning, and they're wearing the red, white, and blue. Red, white, and blue. I'm all in. So that's it. Let them do what they got to do. Just keep winning. I mean, they're representing our country. That's how I look at it. To me, it's really simple. But, yeah, the golf clap definitely. I think it was after Carly Lloyd. She scored like an 18-yard volley to put the U.S. ahead in 11 minutes against Chile. So, maybe they'll do this celebration over and over. I heard Lloyd talking about it, and she was saying something along the lines of, well, they discussed in the locker room before, and if and when they score, they'll do a golf clap. So it was obviously set up ahead of time.
Yeah, her teammate, Lindsay Horan, I believe is how you pronounce – I think that's how you pronounce her last name, was the one that suggested that that's what
everyone
does.
Okay, I didn't know
does.
That's who it was.
Yeah,
right.
That's what Carly mentioned that after in some of her post-match interviews after their 3-0 victory, Taz, is that's who recommended that they do that. An interesting reaction. I'm sure people then are going to be critical of them then today, maybe being too sarcastic or maybe being too sensitive or listening or just be who you are. And if that's what you're going to, it's almost like you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you're United States women's team, what exactly do you want them to do now? I think the message was being sent yesterday clear as day, Taz, basically, the middle finger is screw you to all the critics out there that they were not acting appropriately. Representing this country in the World Cup, doing the celebrations that they were doing.
Well, what the ladies can say to the American, the U.S. women team, they can say, it was a nod towards all the men playing at Pebble Beach. They could do that too, right? Because it was a golf clap. I don't know.
Right, yeah, that's exactly right.
And Pebble Beach is happening while we're playing. Hey, it's a nod to Pebble Beach. I mean, that obviously wasn't what it was. But, yeah, hey, listen, like I said, man, look, if they keep winning, or even if they lose, don't matter. We're Americans. We support them. How do you not support them? And listen, they're cocky. They have some arrogance. They have an attitude. They have an edge. Okay, great. They're winning. Okay, they're winning. And what do you want? I mean, not you. I'm saying, what do you want? What do people want? You don't want them to win, or you want them to win with class and all that? They're athletes. They're having a good time. They're not getting paid as much as they should be getting paid, and they're pissed about it. And they should be pissed. And they're a great team. And they keep winning, and they're going to celebrate, and let them celebrate they want. Support them, for God's sakes. Please.
It gets to, first and foremost, it gets the debate, the question of how to act, what is appropriate behavior. I think, really, that's when it comes down to it. And some would argue that, aside from being vile or vulgar, that everything should be good to go, right? I mean, grown women, or in instance, grown men, whatever it might be. You're playing professionally. This is a world-class event. You're going up against the best of the best in your specific discipline or sport. that you should be able to do whatever you want to do in order to celebrate and enjoy yourself. I mean, after you do right. something positive or after you score a goal.
Yeah, it happens in sports as, all the time, right, for years.
Well, but, I mean, in some instances, not, right? I mean, you look at it, there were instances this year. We got you look at the Carolina Hurricanes, who were criticized by Don Cherry.
Oh, those bums. What do they call them again?
Those
bums. They had it in the stands.
For those that don't know, I mean, Carolina was, after their victories at home, were doing these kind of, dance-offs or whatever it might be and everything on the ice, enjoying themselves and celebrating. And, there were critics of that, especially up north, our Canadian brethren, saying that that's not the way that you conduct yourself.
Right.
After a hockey game.
They look like a bunch of jerks.
They shouldn't be doing that in the regular season, right? So you look at that, right? You look at the behavior now. The National Football League has basically said, you can't do anything that's vulgar or vile, but we're going to allow you and embrace touchdown celebrations after they were roundly criticized for being the no-fun league, right? How many times in Major League Baseball do we talk about the antics of a baseball player, right? Now they're saying, now baseball is trying to embrace it a little bit with the bat flips and let them play, let them be themselves, everything and the like, and get rid of the kind of the old school way, this is how you act as Major League Baseball players. So if you're going to do that in the NFL, you're going to do that in Major League Baseball, you're going to kind of embrace it in hockey, why would then you be ultra critical in women's soccer?
You shouldn't be, just because it's not. I don't know. I don't know the reason. I don't know why. Is it because they're women? Is it because it's soccer?
Maybe.
Is it because it's soccer?
Maybe it's sexist.
It could be. I mean, for me, look. Don Cherry talking about the Hurricanes or whoever talking about any NFL players. I do think some celebrations can be excessive. Yeah, I get that. I do think if it's over the top, it's like, all right, I got it. But what these ladies are doing. The U.S. women's team here, the soccer team, in my opinion, there's nothing excessive. And as far as the scoring, and we talked about this last week, as far as excessive scoring or kicking a team when they're down, I don't give a rat's hoot about that. Because as long as that clock's still running, they're keeping score, you're competing. So you don't want me to score, stop my team. Stop me. Stop those girls. That's it. Otherwise, the game's still on. You got to keep playing.
But I don't disagree.
No, I know you don't. We talked about this last week.
I don't disagree with any of that. I look at it as a case of where people want to look at their female athletes in a certain way. I would say it's more. If I had to say why the outpouring and why the pushback is, I would say it's more sexism than anything else. Because how could you not? I mean, we've taken many a call about. Before the NFL changed their rules about people saying, why can't guys celebrate touchdowns? Not everyone has to be Barry Sanders he's the perfect example of just hand the football off to the referee.
Right.
Once you score a touchdown, why can't we enjoy it a little bit? How many times do you enjoy where you watch a hockey celebration after a score they don't allow it anymore. Guys used to ride the stick, right? You do that on the ice, you score three goals, guys. So
yeah,
you look at all the celebrations in sport, Taz, and you look at this. This make people uncomfortable. They don't want to see Rapinoe celebrating the way that she was doing it. They don't want to see Alex Morgan scoring five goals. United States women team celebrating the style and fashion which they did, running up the score. I bring up the example last week. I mean, you go back all the way to the '92 Dream Team when they were embarrassing teams left and right. Everyone celebrated.
Yeah,
everyone enjoyed it. Yes. They said, "Look at us! Look how great we are!
Yeah,
look how dumb we are!" That was the United States men's basketball team.
And now the ladies are doing it playing soccer, and they're celebrating, and they're whooping the daylights out of people.
And people are uncomfortable.
And now there's a problem. So I guess you're right, Moose. I guess it is sexism. I mean, I guess really. I mean, that's ridiculous. If that's the case, that is friggin' ridiculous. Really? It don't matter.
Well, I just don't understand the critic. I guess, Taz, when we had that discussion last week, I saw more of it as well on all different levels, whether it be columns being written, digital, on television.
It's amazing.
And you saw the criticism coming their way. And I just didn't get it. I didn't understand the big uproar. It didn't make sense to me trying to look at it and through their eyes and their lens. And I said, well, I mean, it's got to be a case where, these people want women athletes to act a certain way. It has to be, because what other way could it be?
Well, it's supposed to be ladylike? Is that what it is?
Idea.
That's ridiculous. I mean,
well,
really,
but they're
competing.
But Taz, the other thing is, they didn't do anything vulgar or vile
no.
to where they were. They didn't do any of that.
No, they did nothing. You're right. And the golf clap thing is definitely sarcasm that they just did here. And like you said, they beat Chile. What was it 3-0?
3-0.
So yeah, I mean, so it's like, you know what? They're going to keep on winning and hope they keep getting creative and keep coming up with different celebrations and stick it to everybody.
They've
That's
got one more match in the preliminary round. They've already advanced to the second round, to the next round, the elimination round. So I don't know what you'll expect all that much in match three, but then it's all for the then all the chips are in the middle of the table moving forward.
Remember hot cheese? Remember we used to do that?
Long time ago.
I'm almost dead.
Peter Costas, CBS Sports golf analyst, will join us next. It's Taz and the Moose with you on this Monday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.